Judges chapter 9, verses 1 through 21, number 1, taking the kingdom. If you recall, we began this last week. The chapter gives three different parts of Abimelech's political career. Abimelech was Gideon's son by his handmaiden. The name Abimelech means my father is a king. Abimelech felt strongly that his father should have been a king, that he should have accepted the offer. So he decided, well, if my father won't do it or wouldn't do it, I will do it. He moved from Ophrah to Shechem to campaign. In the process, he broke many of God's laws, especially several in the Ten Commandments. And because of that, he brought to himself and the people of God destruction and trouble. We looked at number one, selfish ambition. In verses 1 and 2, he broke the commandment, thou shalt not covet. He was filled with pride and self-will. If you recall, both Jews and Canaanites lived there in Shechem. So he felt like he could campaign and win the support of both groups because his father Gideon was a Jew, his mother was a Shechemite. So he also felt like the Canaanites in Shechem did not owe Gideon anything. He didn't really do anything for them personally. And so they didn't owe him, they didn't owe his sons anything. But Abimelech was the only one that had a Canaanite mom, and so he should be the one that should be king. Abimelech, the son of Zerubbabel, which of course is Gideon, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren, the relatives, and said to them, and all the family, the clan of the house of his mother's family, saying, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men, some translations have all the leaders of Shechem, whether is better for you, or which is better for you, either that all the sons of Jeroboam, which are 70, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And so that's number one. Selfish ambition, that's where we left off last time. Number two, idolatry. Idolatry. If someone would read, let's have him read 3 through 6. George, you want to read 3 through 6?
And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem. All these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech. For they said, he is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah, and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbabel, being 70 persons upon one stone, notwithstanding. Yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbabel, was left, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem.
All right, thank you, George. Idolatry, verses 3 and 4, broke two commandments. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. That's number one. And then number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. He was his own God. He didn't care about God's will. He cared about power. He took money from Baal worshipers to finance his campaign. Basically, he publicly renounced the God of Israel and chose Baal. Wiersbe said this. He said he had the gods of ambition in Baal, but he also had the god of might. He hired a bunch of low-life mercenaries who helped him gain and keep control over the people. They helped him kill his brothers. Only Jotham survived, and of course he hid, which leads us to number 3, verse number 5, murder, thou shalt not murder, the sixth commandment. In verse 5 we read, "And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Zerubbabel, being 70, upon one stone, notwithstanding yet Jotham, the youngest son of Zerubbabel, was left, for he hid himself." This was not uncommon in those days, that the enemies of the ones running for whatever I might have been or seeking an office would eliminate all legitimate competition, and that's what he did. Of course, it wasn't right, but it was not strange. But what was strange is he killed his own brothers. Now, they were half-brothers, but nonetheless, they had the same father, and he killed them, or had them killed. He was there committing murder as well. No one stopped them. The people had forgotten God and the kindness of Gideon. Back in chapter 8, if you recall, verses 33 through 35, came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went whoring after Balaam and made Baal Berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Zerubbabel, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had shown unto Israel, or the steadfast love that he had shown the people. And so 69 of the 70 of his half-brothers in Ophrah were killed. Leads to number 4, verse 6, dishonesty. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's the third commandment he broke. And then he also broke, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Commandment number 9. Commandment number 9. Abimelech broke both of these commandments the moment he was crowned king. Because if he took his oath of office in the name of the Lord, it would be blasphemy, because God didn't choose him, did he? Secondly, if he promised to protect the people, that would be a lie. And so he broke the thou shalt not bear false witness commandment, thou shalt not lie. Abimelech's coronation was an empty ritual. It was a farce. The Lord never accepted or blessed it. It was at the great tree at the pillar of Shechem. And Wiersbe says this about that area. He said that the coronation took place, probably the oak of Morah, where the Lord appeared to Abraham and promised to give him and his descendants the land, back in Genesis 12. Verse number 6, it was near here that the nation of Israel heard the blessings and the cursings read from the law and promised to obey the Lord in Deuteronomy 11, if you recall. And we also saw a similar thing in Joshua chapter 8, in both of our studies. The people of Israel promised, yes, we will keep the law. Jacob buried the idols there. When he called his family back to God in Genesis 35, verses 1 through 5. It was where Joshua gave his farewell address and led the people in reaffirming their obedience to the Lord in the last chapter of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 25 and 26. All of this sacred history was degraded and dishonored by Abimelech. All of these wonderful things that happened on that spot were denigrated by this wicked man. Which leads to number 5, pride. Pride, verses 7 through 21. If I could have a couple of you read those verses, starting with verse number 7. 7 through 14, then 15 through 21. Who'll do 7 through 14? 7 through 14, anybody? Going once? All right, Becca, 15 through 21. Anybody?
I'll read it.
Okay, Mary. Go ahead, Becca.
And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us.
Verse 15, Mary.
Okay, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And the bramble said to the trees, if in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if you let fire come out of the bramble, but if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you have acted in truth and sincerity in making Amalekek a king, and if you have dealt with Jeroboam and his house, and have done for him, to him as he deserves. My father fought you, risked his life, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. But you have risen up against my father's house this day, and killed his 70 sons on the stone. One stone, and made Amalekek the son of his female servant king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If then you have acted in truth and sincerity, and Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let fire come from the men of Shechem and from Beth Milo and devour Amalekek. Whatever. And Jonathan ran away and fled, and he went to Debir and dwelt there for fear of Amalekek, his brother.
All right, thank you both. Pride, verses 7 through 21. Of course, the only one that escaped was Jotham, and we find here recorded in Judges, beginning with Judges 9, beginning with verse number 7. We find the first parable recorded in the Bible. The first parable recorded in the Bible. By the way, in verse 6, all the men or the leaders of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo. If you put Beth in front of that, many translations do, it means house of the fortress. It was a section of Shechem, which included the tower that is described in verse number 46, when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into an hold of the house of the god Berith. So that's Beth Milo or Milo. And then verse 7, when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried unto them, hearken unto me, ye men. Again, some translations have leaders there. So he cried out loud, very loudly, that God may hearken unto you or listen to you. And then he begins to give this parable of the trees. And so he starts in verse 8. He said, the trees went forth on a time, or once upon a time, to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. Now, an olive tree, of course, was a valuable tree because it had valuable oil. It had the olives. Of course, they used olive oil a lot. So it was of great value. It could be possible that while he was speaking, the coronation celebrations were actually happening. And then Jotham interrupted with his parable from Mount Gerizim. Remember, it was next to Shechem and the Oak of Moreh. The blessings in Deuteronomy 27 were read here, but Jotham's parable was not a blessing, was it? Wasn't a blessing at all. So he starts out with the olive tree. Jotham, of course, pictured the trees looking for a king. So the olive tree is looking for a king. The olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness or my abundance wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees or hold sway over the trees? One translation has wherewith or by which gods and man are honored. And the tree said then to the fig tree, come thou, reign over us. The fig tree, of course, was also very valuable. It had sweet fruit. I mean, who didn't like a good fig? And so it was of great value to the people. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake or leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted or hold sway over the trees? So the olive tree and the fig tree refused. And then the tree said unto the vine, the grapevine, come thou and reign over us, the vine with its clusters of grapes to make wine, said this, should I leave my wine which cheereth God and men and go to be promoted or hold sway over the trees? And so the trees said, man, we only have one thing left. It went to the bramble bush, a thorn bush. You know, a thorn bush wasn't worth much, was it? It was all right to burn it. But thorn bushes, bramble bushes, often were the cause of fires because they would ignite and spread and threaten the trees. You know, the good trees and the vines. So, all the trees, verse 14, said unto the bramble, the thorn bush, come thou and reign over us, the most unworthy of all. And the bramble, the thorn bush, said unto the trees, if in truth or in good faith ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. Now, the trees and the vines would have certainly grown over the bramble, wouldn't you agree? I mean, who would shade whom? How's that little scrawny little bramble bush that's of no value going to offer decent shade to a fig tree? Or an olive tree, or a grapevine even. So it was ridiculous. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon, which is a real true risk. So all of the good trees and the vine, good vine, refused to make the necessary sacrifice in order to reign. Only the bramble bush was left. this nuisance, which was a symbol of Abimelech, the new king. And so the bramble invited the other tree, hey, come and I'll shade you. I'll take care of you. Yeah. So Jotham had made his point. After Jotham finished, of course, he figured, man, I'm going to die for sure now. And so he took off. In verse 16, now therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely in that ye have made Abimelech king, and if ye have dealt well with Zerubbabel and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, if the deeds were deserved, if you've acted in good faith, for my father fought for you and adventured his life. He risked his life far and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. And ye are risen up against my father's house this day and have slain his sons 70. And he's speaking, of course, in general numbers, kind of like in the New Testament when the 12 were referred to even after Judas had forsaken the Lord and ultimately killed himself. They were still referred to as the 12. So here we have the 70, even though there were actually 69 because Jotham had escaped. So it's not an error in the Bible. It's just a general number. And have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men or the leaders of Shechem because he's your brother or relative. So Jotham, number one, made the point that the bramble king would not be able to protect the people. The bramble king, the thornbush king, would not be able to protect the people. Secondly, he would cause the judgment of God to come upon and destroy those who trusted him. He would cause the judgment of God to come upon and destroy those who trusted him. The men of Shechem trusted and honored a worthless opportunist and rejected the house of Gideon. As I read this, I can't help but to think of the 2020 stolen election. Honored a worthless opportunist and rejected the one who had brought the nation to prosperity. Obviously, God is behind whatever good would ever happen. Number four, the time would come when Abimelech and his followers would destroy one another. The time would come when Abimelech and his followers would destroy one another. Number five, Abimelech thought of himself a tree of great value. He really thought he was something, a tree of great value. But Jotham described him as a worthless weed. And lastly, number six, prideful Abimelech thought he could usurp God's kingship. This is the worst thing. Moses warned the people. Joshua warned the people that there were going to be some that wanted a king. And the day would come, there'd be a king. And so prideful Abimelech thought, you know what? I can be king. My father should have been king. He refused. I'm going to do it. He didn't care about God's kingship. As a matter of fact, the people had turned from God, and he, of course, turned with them. God let him think that for a time that he was indeed accepted as king. We'll see that 3 years he reigned, and then things began to unravel. There's always a payday, isn't there? We reap what we sow. Payday was coming. God was still on his throne, and he would frustrate Abimelech's selfish purposes. And we're warned in the Bible, in places like Romans 12:3, that we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And of course, Paul gave that instruction in between some of the greatest verses in all of the Bible, certainly in the book of Romans, when he said that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he said, He talked about the renewing of our minds, proving what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And then he said that we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And then he went into some of the spiritual gifts. So we present our bodies first in total surrender to the Lord. We understand that we're not worthy of any spiritual gift at all to be able to serve our God and his people. And then he tells us some of the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit would pass out. We, of course, are to use our gifts to minister one to another where God places us. We're not in competition. The church is not in competition. We are servants under our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a privilege to serve in any capacity. No matter what spiritual gift or gifts we have, it's an honor and a privilege and should be treated as something that is not burdensome, but a real joy and a blessing, a delight, not a duty. We serve him out of love, not out of fear. But yet many choose not to follow their Lord in service. And it's a tragedy, because when we don't, we miss out. And of course, ultimately, who's to get all the glory? God is, of course. All right, so verse 18, "You have risen up against my father's house this day. You've slain his sons." He goes on in verse 19, "If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Zerubbabel and his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. If you have in good faith and integrity," some translations have it. We're here in KJV, it says, "If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the leaders of Shechem, the house of Beth Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Beth Milo and devour Abimelech." And then in verse 21, he took off. He ran. He knew that he had to get out of there. He was going to be hunted. He went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. When Abimelech had reigned 3 years, so for 3 years, things evidently went fairly well. But then in verse number 23, God sent an evil spirit. God allowed an evil spirit to get between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. God providentially allowed jealousy and hate and distrust to appear. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. See, it was coming back on him, wasn't it? That the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Zerubbabel might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their half-brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. And this is where we will pause. And Lord willing, we will continue the next appointed hour. Questions or comments? Anybody? Just like Abimelech would do anything for power, that's what we're seeing in our political system today. There's one side that, no matter what it takes, including assassination, whatever it takes. Trevor and Olivia Doles, if you haven't looked at the picture of this gentleman, Trevor, he's almost a spitting image of Governor Newsom in California. You might want to take a peek at it. Church planner in Miami, Florida, and actually Hollywood, which is a suburb of Miami, Faith Church. I don't know why. you know, I got a lot of pet peeves. I'm kind of a, I'm bothered by certain things. Anybody see anything wrong with using Baptist? Are you ashamed to be a Baptist? How many of you are ashamed to be a Baptist? Why we got to take that out like there's some kind of shame in it? Well, it makes more people feel included. No, I mean, we shouldn't be ashamed of who we are. Should we? What's wrong with calling yourself Baptist? Anyway, not a slight on them. They're just following the lead of multitudes that do the same thing. Take Baptist out. Faith Church. Pray that the Lord would grow our church in holiness, that we would be conformed to the image of Christ, walking in a manner worthy of the gospel. Pray for the strengthening of our family relationally and our marriage to be an example for our children. It's a worthy prayer indeed. Pray for our church. The meeting next week shouldn't be long. There's a couple things we need to discuss. And then don't forget to pray for the 28th. Sign up for it, please. And support Scotty and those that will be coming in law enforcement. Pray for our nation. I pray often during the week for President Trump. I've been praying for his safety. And I know many of you have as well. Continue to pray for him. Not just him, but remember... Steve Scalise playing baseball, and he was shot. Remember that? This has been several years ago. He was very close to dying. There was somebody, I think it was an EMT that happened to be there, was able to use tourniquets to stop bleeding. He was shot several times and almost died. And of course, there were several there, Republicans that were having practice. And the intent was to kill many of the congressmen. I forget how many were there, 12 or something like that. So this is not new, and of course we could name other instances as well. So we need to pray for safety for all that are running for office and their families. It again raises concerns too about Robert Kennedy Jr. I don't believe in his policies. He's half nutty. Some of his things are good, but he's a big liberal. But he should be protected. And the Biden administration has refused any Secret Service protection, which is given to presidential candidates that have a serious candidacy. And he does. He has enough of the votes to garner having protection, and it's been refused. That's just wrong. I mean, his father was assassinated. His uncle was assassinated. I mean, who wouldn't think that there's some nut out there would like to join on the Kill Kennedy bandwagon and kill him just for the sake of killing him and having their name in the paper? There are people that crazy. But that shows the wickedness of the administration that's in there now. They don't care about anything but power in their own wallets. Pray for Israel and Ukraine. Quite an attack there in Gaza, going after a couple of the heads of Hamas. I guess there were, of course, you got to be careful what you hear, where it comes from. But pray for the situation there, that Israel can win a final victory. Pray for law enforcement. Pray for our troops around the world, our missionaries. Pray for Hope House, Mark and his health situation, Rhonda for strength, Rhonda's mom. Pray for Bill. He needs some supernatural work done on his kidneys. And he goes to another doctor about the blood pressure. Is that this week?
No, not September?
Oh, wow. What did Teresa find out?
Her bone has mended back together. She can start putting very little pressure on her foot.
Okay. It's going to be a while, yeah. All right, pray for Betty. God will give her the strength to do all that she needs to do. Now take care of Teresa as well. Tammy Riggleman needs a kidney. Ruth should be home soon. That's Rebecca Force's mom. If she's not already, I have not corresponded with the Forces for 2 days. So, but I doubt if she's home yet. But it should be this week. Remember, she had cancer in the jaw, and they had to remove part. And she's one tough lady in her 90s. Continue to pray for Amanda. Kathy's niece had cancer surgery this week and is doing well. She is one tough young lady. Pray as she had three lymph nodes removed, and they're testing them. So pray for her. Also, a friend from Berkeley Baptist, Tammy and Dan Hummel. Tammy works at the courthouse in the tax office. She found out a while back that she has thyroid cancer, and they feel very optimistic that it can be thyroid can be removed and won't be any issues. But for some reason, they've been dragging their feet, and an appointment she's been waiting for has not come to pass, and it's turned into some weeks now. So she's concerned that, well, won't the cancer grow and spread? So she asked if we would pray for her, Tammy Hummel. Also, Gary's sister, I put her back on here, Darlene, with leukemia down in Florida. She's receiving treatments. So pray for Gary's sister, Darlene. And then I added Fred. I added you. Fred's not been feeling good at all. He's got an appointment coming up. He's trying to stick it out until next month, you said, right? But he's been having some issues and struggling. It's good to see you this morning. It was that good beef that gave you the strength to come this morning beside God himself, of course. But it's good to see you. And then Kathy wrote another note about Amanda doing very well after surgery. She's sore, but no real pain. And then Mason and the group are going to Costa Rica. We took a trip there in 07. Beck and George were there. They were just married a short time. That's back when George looked like he was 14, and all these Costa Rican teenage girls were all over him. Yeah, oh yeah. And they thought that Becca was his mother. Ah, that was a great trip. That wasn't that an awesome trip? Costa Rica's, of course, you know, a lot of your. And then, anyway, pray for them that they're going to Costa Rica for the Helps Ministry for 2 weeks, leaving on the 28th, Sunday the 28th. So pray for them. They're going to love. We went up into some mountain regions where they had never seen white people. It was awesome. Very poor people, but the kids had very neat pressed uniforms, the white top and the boys had black pants, the girls had skirts, and they looked like they were rich. They were such proud people. It's a wonderful place to go visit. All right, anybody else have anyone you want to add this morning? All right, let's stand together and take these requests to our Lord. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for his shed blood, for the hope we have in him and him alone. And Father, we pray if there's one here this morning that does not know with absolute assurance that when they leave this earth, they'll be in your presence. I pray today would be the day of salvation. We pray, Lord, for the church. We pray for growth. We pray for faithfulness and service among our people. We pray that others would come and join with us. Lord, we ask that you'd give the increase as we seek to minister to more and more people. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the meeting next week, that you'd bless the special service on the 28th. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless the coming hour as we again look to your word for instruction, for strength, that you would increase our faith, our trust in you. We pray, Lord, for those we called out to you that have physical needs. We pray for healing for them. We thank you for those that you have healed. Thank you for those that you've gotten through surgery, serious surgeries, and we pray you continue to heal and mend. And Lord, I pray if any of those do not know Christ as Savior and Lord, that through this time of suffering, they would turn to you for salvation before it's too late. We thank you, Lord, that you spared President Trump yesterday. We know your hand was in it. You've given me a renewed assurance of the results that will occur on the 5th of November. And Lord, we pray that you would save our nation. We know that ultimately, if we're going to turn back to you, Lord, you have to speak to hearts and change opinions and minds and hearts. And Lord, we pray you do that, that you would forgive our sin as a country and heal our land and get rid of the corruption and the wickedness and the power-hungry folk that are in it only for themselves. And Lord, that you would rebuild our nation. And Lord, we'd be a nation again under God. We pray, Father, that you'd be glorified in all that's said and done here this morning. And we'll praise you for